It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Behind the Racket Pod, the podcast taking you behind the racket with today's top tennis players and biggest issues facing the sport.
Behind the Racket is a community to give fans and players in the world of tennis the opportunity to open up like they have never done before.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. It can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com.
Special thanks to my sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at NewBalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
You can also help support the podcast by visiting patreon.com/behindtheracketpod and receive rewards from our travels around the world. And now.
So it's been about 5 or 6 weeks since the two of us have had an opportunity just to sit down and talk and catch up on our lives and let you expound on the virtues of the PTPA. So I figured this is as good of an opportunity as any to really just go as you're preparing to be in Newport, which I'm so super excited about. But how are you?
Can I eat sunflower seeds during this or no?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, good.
Most people mute your part anyway, so it's fine.
Mute. Oh yeah, when are those shirts coming up? You got to tell everybody about your shirts.
Yeah, please answer the question of how are you before I start talking about the shirts, so I don't sound like a complete piece of shit.
I'm okay. I wasn't expecting to play Newport. You know, I kind of had this plan to play a few challengers, see if I can get my ranking back into qualies of U.S. Open, and then kind of take the rest of the year off and prepare for 2022, get the body in order, get everything ready, so I can slide on hardcourt again and not feel like crap. So that's where we're at. But, you know, once I saw my name was kind of close to the list and I was sneaking in, I can't say no to Newport. Probably one of my favorite destinations, especially in the States, in the year.
I am also very excited for it. I told you this last night, but I tried to get out there as well because I still haven't been to Newport. I just want to hang out with Blair Henley.
Yeah, she's cool. MC I saw her from a distance. MC extraordinaire. Yeah, it's actually crazy, and there's obviously history to it, but like the Tennis Hall of Fame is in Newport, Rhode Island. Like it's just. It's unbelievable that that's the spot. Like, you know, it's not just
not
one of.
Not really. I mean, let's be blunt here in thinking about the fact that for, you know, the first 60 years of its existence, tennis was entirely a very extremely upper class white sport. And if you think about the history of Newport, Rhode Island, I think that fits pretty damn well.
I get it. Still ironic that this is the home of it.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, as opposed to New York, which is the center of everything, correct?
Never leaving. East Coast, baby.
Wow.
Didn't feel right.
No, that didn't sound right either. So yeah, so Noah mentioned some t-shirts, and they will be ready, or at least the prototypes will be ready for myself and for you to wear next week in Cary, North Carolina, when we, you know, get the gang back together. They are I Hate Noah Rubin shirts. And I wanted to, you and I have actually kind of an important decision to make, because I want to make this a charity function here. I want to, if you're going to be mocked in shirt form, I want to make sure that there's a portion of it that's going to a charity of your choice. So we're going to do that. So we'll do prices and sizes and everything at a later date once we get it determined. But the I Hate Noah Rubin shirts are one week away from completion. I'm super excited. And yes, you are going to get to pick what charity to support with these shirts.
Yeah, I have to ironically pick a mental health charity. As you destroy my self-esteem and I see I Hate Noah Rubin shirts everywhere I go. But I'm really pumped to wear them. I think who's going to get the biggest kick out of it? Maybe a Eubanks is going to be really happy to see that. Kwiatkowski can't be unhappy to see that.
Your sister? Your girlfriend?
My mom. Why'd it take so long to get these out?
No, but I'm really excited, and Stacia, who works at Mom's Creative here in Tulsa, has been great with working with me. She's one of my neighbors down the street.
And confused so nonetheless, but...
Yeah, she said she loves podcasts, and I said, well, you probably won't like ours. But yeah, so she's been able to work on that, and again, I will get, once we get everything set, I will get prices ready so that I can figure out exactly how much it's going to cost to ship everywhere so that we can make sure we do incorporate a sizable charitable organization donation into this, because I think that's actually very important as well.
You're doing God's work, Mike.
I mean,
you're just doing God's work.
I love you, I hate you, and I just want it to be a nice charitable thing. Let's before we get into the PTPA stuff, because that's kind of where I want to spend the bulk of what we talk about here today. I adopted a cat who lived until a couple days ago in the sewers. I thank you to your girlfriend for helping me as I was trying to navigate the waters there. But it's this crazy, crazy, like the dodo moment where she decided one day, 2 days ago, that I'm suitable to play with and be pet by. And now we are best friends. She's living in my basement for a couple of weeks so that she can my other cat, just there are no infections that might pass either way. But yeah, the cat at this moment is named Brother, after a character in the Wee Bear Bears cartoon that my daughter watches. And I thanks to everybody who is very nice and chimed in that I need to adopt this cat, including former guest Gabby Dabrowski.
I feel bad for the cat that it chose you. There are so many people in this world. And you know, I guess I said sewer-cation. Let's choose
a slight step
the
up.
Sewer a little longer.
But thank you to everybody who was nice enough to hop in and give me some words of wisdom on Twitter the last couple days. Okay. So, yes, Noah and I will be back together in Cary in 1 week. Right now, Noah is preparing. I don't think the draw for qualies is out yet as we record on Saturday afternoon, right?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. This morning, Ash Barty winning the Wimbledon ladies singles title. I don't know if you watched it. I did. Chris Fowler and Chrissy Evert were just phenomenal, especially in the third set. It was great to watch. I don't know how much of Wimbledon you've watched.
I've watched a few matches here and there. Again, 3 out of 5 is too long for me. I've seen, you know, a set or two of women's singles as well. I was interested in some cases and then kind of just bored in others, to be honest with you. But there was a lot of good tennis, and I think with the men's side being as, I was going to say, women's like, in the terms of, you know, having so many different new players coming out and kind of having that breakthrough, which we've seen on the women's side for some time now. Obviously, we have that same okay tennis player, Novak Djokovic, you know, just kind of going through the draw. But, you know, with everybody else having, you know, Schoppo playing some really great ball.
Yeah.
Berrettini smacking forehands, having Mr. Hubert playing, you know, his lanky tennis, athletic lanky tennis. You know, it's nice to see some new guys out, and that was a part of what I wanted to talk about as well with you. So, but what about you? How much have you seen?
I missed the first, essentially the first week, because we were on a family vacation back home in Champaign, and so I didn't really get to watch much. I've watched a good chunk this week, and I actually got into a this was more of a DM debate with Amy Lundy Dahl, who's on the Three podcast, which is, I believe, part of the Tennis Channel podcast network as well. Just about this idea of I don't want to go into it too much, but the idea that the men's product has been able to be sold more because of the big three versus the women's side, where there is so much diversity. And for me, I've actually been, I love that diversity on the women's side of how every tournament feels a little bit more wide open. So I was actually really excited this week to see so many new names, first-time quarterfinals, first-time semifinals, and for Berrettini, first-time finalist on the men's side.
I go back and forth. Hmm. I go back and forth each time. I think so. You know, let's use the big three. You know, obviously tennis is a star-driven sport, and using that for the marketing has been, you know, I think actually an issue. I think put us in some cases where we're lacking, but, you know, it also, I think, was the easy, lazy route for us to say, hey, look at these guys, some of the best athletes of all time in any sport.
Right. Sure.
What can we do with them? And on the women's side as well, using the Williams sisters or Sharapova during her time and stuff like
right.
that. So. But going into it, I think, you know, once we take away, let's say we, you know, these, we keep saying big three. I put Murray in there, even, you know, a Wawrinka at times, you know. But, you know, when we say the big three, I say that generation. I think once those guys kind of take a step down, you know, it's not just 5 or 10 guys that have the opportunity. You know, we expand that number to 40. You know, we expand that number to 45 players that can possibly make the quarterfinals. So for me, I think there's a limit. I think there's a number where we say, okay, you know, 10 to 15 guys is great. You know, we can mix it up. We have a lot of great names. But once we're getting to 20 plus, 30 plus, I think you lose this drive. You lose this trying to find the rivalries between the players.
Yeah, I get
and
that.
I think that's kind of the issue where, you know, I don't love, you know, Fed or Djokovic winning these events all the time, or Nadal coming out to his, you know, 43rd French Open title. But you love the rivalry.
Yeah,
you love
right.
the matchups. And, you know, we have those. But, you know, with a, you know, a Tsitsipas, and this is, you know, nothing to, you know, against Foe, but, you know, with a Tsitsipas losing to Foe early round, that's just proving the fact that we do have these 50 players. Even with the Tsitsipas at the top of the game, or a Medvedev at the top of the game, those guys don't have that 3 out of 5 set mentality where I'm just not losing these matches yet, you know.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we have so many players out there, and I think we lose this grasp, we lose this grip onto the tournament to say, hey, this is why you have to watch us. And I think it goes more towards we just love tennis and just watching for tennis ability.
Yeah, it's I also, as you're saying that, like, I come from a broadcast mentality, right?
Right.
Storytelling is fantastic. You know, when you have Schoppo into a slam semi for the first time in his career, right? I mean, that's the ability to tell that story is phenomenal. I also haven't had the opportunity to do Djokovic Nadal episode 42, right? I haven't had that opportunity yet, so I can't speak to that. But yeah, I love those new storylines as they move forward, because that's what has always gripped me, is the idea of new storylines moving forward. And that's what's always been forefront of my mind. But yeah, I get it, because I think the marketing side, is going to be a real challenge for the ATP, because I hearken back to, this is, God, again, a little bit before your time, but when Tiger Woods had a grasp on men's golf, when he did, right? It was Tiger versus everyone else. And I think we're, you know, again, I don't want to get into a Federer, Nadal, they past it debate, but I think we're very close to that spot where it's Novak,
the Djokovic, yeah,
and everybody else, because that's, well, that's, I mean, where we're
all
at.
All the gambling and betting stuff is like, do you take the field or you take Djokovic? You know, that's always what it is right now. You know, I agree with the storytelling, but are new stories new if there's so many of them? You know, when does that line cross? And again, it's also the second thing, which is, you know, I think Novak was talking about this in his, you know, he was saying about his first Grand Slam final was he was 20 playing Fed, lost in three tough tiebreaks or whatever it was. With Berrettini, he's 26, right?
Right.
You know, and it has nothing bad against Berrettini, but, you know, he's not next gen, you know, like we could call it whatever it is. So with these guys coming in, with these guys coming into their own, the Dominic Thiem coming up, you know, we're going to be 30, you know, they're going to be 30 in a blink of an eye. And this is, these narratives are kind of, they change so quick. We didn't have this. So we tried to build off this next gen theory, but you know, the guys that were next gen, you know, are now 25, 24, 25, even 26. So it's, you know, I think we're losing those storylines, which is, I think, going to force them to do what I was hoping was going to be done a long time ago, which is learn how to market tennis, learn how to make tennis more enticing, learn how to make it more accessible and more encouraging for young people to be a part of. Because this whole, you know, narrative, and I know a lot of those next gen guys got pissed at me when I said this, we're not going to transcend the sport as good as Federer has done ever. So we're going to have, and we're struggling right now, even with him still in the sport. So we're going to have to find a way to do it differently. And it has nothing to do with the talent. It has nothing to do with everything else. It is just a different level that Federer has brought to the sport that I don't know if we can replicate right now. So we have to find new ways to really build that excitement, build that encouragement, because I think those new stories will start getting very old very quickly.
You mentioned Dominic Thiem. Obviously, he's been forefront in terms of the mental health discussion over the last couple of months. But obviously, of the last month, and we haven't really talked about it, was Naomi Osaka's decision, obviously, and where she's at. I guess from the group of players and people you talk to on a regular basis, I know you're in a lot of group chats as well. Where is everybody at? Is it as split player-wise as I kind of grasp?
It's such a it's a funny spot to be in for so many players. I mean, for most of the players, because we have these group chats where it seems like everybody's so cynical and negative about what the future holds and what's lying in front of us right now. But like what we said with everything else, there's only one lane right now. There's nowhere else to go. So you can be cynical. You have everything, but you can only complain so much, and then you're playing an ATP event. You know, there's really not much else. You can't go play, you know, world team tennis for 6 months, and they don't even have it for the summer. So there's really, if you want to play tennis, if you want to make a living, you have one option right now. So I think it's a tough situation to be in, especially on this tail end of COVID as well, where I guess you could say the restrictions or lack thereof, it changes from week to week and people don't know what's happening. And you know, it's still, you mix that with all the issues going on with the PTPA coming up and the ATP being on their heels a bit and trying to react and be aggressive. And there's a lot going on. And again, a lot of players are very disappointed and very unhappy. But at the same point, what's the other option right now?
Yeah.
You know, where do you go?
Naomi's documentary or docu-series, I guess that it is, actually starts this coming week. I believe actually 2 or 3 days from our release date here. So I think that's going to be...
Timing is interesting.
It is. I am hopeful that it will lead to encouraged discussion about mental health and the idea that it's okay for even the top players in all sports to have these questions about themselves. I have been, I guess I can't say shocked, but incredibly disappointed that there is still such a narrative of, if you can't handle it, get out. it's still out there, and
you're
it's
an
shocking
athlete.
To me. Yeah,
yeah, you're an athlete. Keep dribbling the ball. You know, kind of narrative.
It's funny to me because I think the mental, you know, the ability to compartmentalize on court, specifically in tennis, it really is one of the things that sets you apart. However, that mental health component is a completely different entity in my mind.
There's a lot, I think out of some of the players that are a little deeper in than others, and not to use names right now, just look tired.
Yeah,
you know,
right. No,
there's
for sure.
there's a tired look in their eyes that feels like, you know, we're still hopeful, we're still gunning for it. You know, there's a lot of great teams behind it, but just been beaten down a little bit. You know, just been beaten down a little bit more than they expected to. So, you know, it's interesting, and I hope Naomi Osaka is, you know, obviously it's more driven to mental health, but half is, you know, eye-opening as Andy Murray was as well, and how well done that was. I think, and something that, you know, my team and I are working on a bit is getting some, you know, not at the top players, you know, to speak about this. I think we see this, and it's a little bit tough to relate at times, you know, when Murray's jumping on his private jet or in his pool in his house with three people working on him. Tough to relate, but, you know, I think, again, as the more discussions we can have, especially in the mainstream media, like a Netflix, where, you know, we can have non-tennis fans clicking on it and being a part of it and seeing what's truly happening, you know, that's the better it is. You know, the more the conversation is going to be pushed forward. But there is this tiredness that it's like this, you know, I keep using the comment, you know, too big to fail, you know, and I think the ATP have this arrogance that we are too big to fail in a way. And you can throw whatever you want at us, but okay, what's the alternative? What's the next step for you guys? So, you know, I'm doing what I can. I saw Vasek, he's here. Spoke to him for a bit. You know, there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of great teams. I'm speaking to all of them, but there's still this, you know, a little bit of that, oh God, here we go again kind of thing. So, but you know, I'm still, speaking to the team, speaking to their PR and a lot of the other people they have behind. This is a great chance we have, you know, and I don't know every step that they have. I know a lot of them, but it's happening, and hopefully it's scaring them into a new pathway.
If I can, you mentioned Too Big to Fail, which is also the name of a fantastic documentary on the failed Dana Carvey show, which is, again, a little bit before your time.
Okay.
Fantastic. I think it's on Hulu right now. So
I have to check it out because I usually know, but that one, yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah, okay. A lot of incredible talent that was in that room, and they failed miserably, but in spectacular fashion when Dana Carvey was the biggest star in the world at the time. So you mentioned Vasek, and obviously that's where we kind of wanted to end up here is the PTPA discussion. I'm gonna take it to a pretty basic standpoint here. If you can kind of walk us through this, because, you know, what I think a lot of fans have seen is just kind of these little infographics from PTPA players and the PTPA
and now
marketing.
Their Instagram. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so it's just like this idea of delay the vote, right? How do you summarize that for a basic, you know, one of our listeners who might have an idea and have seen some of these, you know, notes.
Yeah.
But how do you summarize that, you know, in 45 seconds?
I think what the PTPA are doing well is they're, you know, they're kind of simplifying all our thoughts. They're saying, hey, we understand that, you know, you have an issue that you dealt with at the ATP in Europe and you want to discuss. We get that. But there are bigger issues, there are larger issues that can be simplified down to, like in this case, transparency. That's a word we hear a lot. That's a word that needs to be spoken about a lot. And with the ATP, you have this 30-year plan that we don't really know the ins and outs of. You know, they say it's you know, it's the best, you know, they have the best intentions, you know, it's the greatest, you know, path for us, but we don't really know what that means in the end. So I think what the PTPA are doing well is kind of taking all of what we are speaking about, all the players, and taking it down to a few levels. One of them, again, transparency, just having an understanding of what, you know, these good intentions that these, you know, that the ATP are speaking about. How is this going to help us? What are the ins and outs? How will this affect us in the end? You know, I think unifying the voices is a tremendous aspect. You know, when you're looking, you know, we have players from around the world. We have different age groups. We're all speaking. We're all talking, especially in these WhatsApp groups. It's taking those voices together and trying to bring those together. So, again, the PTPA do not have an easy task at hand by any means. And not only are they going up against ATP and WTA, but they're also trying to bring, you know, we're talking hundreds of players together that are from so many different walks of life. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, we are all tennis players, you know, but we could be 35 from Kazakhstan and 24 from California. You know, you're talking about so many different players and emotions and thoughts and feelings. So it is difficult. But again, speaking about this 30-year plan, it's just trying to get kind of that seat at the table and saying, hey, how is this? Do we have a say in this? You know, you say it affects the players, you know, and I think the best example that I want to just quickly share was what happened in Australia right before the pandemic in 2020. The fires took place. You know, we should have known it was going to be an interesting year starting from, you know, the horrific fires that were kind of tormenting Australia for many months. And they said, hey, we have these scientists, it's safe to play. We're looking at these numbers. I was like, can I see these numbers? Can I talk to these people that you're speaking to? You know, I'm going on the court, you're in air conditioning. Can I speak to these guys? They said no. And started getting extremely defensive. It's the fact I'm screaming like in the lobby of the Australian Open with some of these ATP reps. And I'm like, am I losing it? I just want to speak to people that are going to make sure that my health is okay, that I'm not going to have any issues getting out there, because right now the city is on lockdown and we're about to play a tennis match. So, like, when we're talking about transparent, it always just feels like there's something's being hidden from us. And I think getting that across and just having that seat at the table, you know, somebody that we trust, that the players trust, and say, hey, guys, you know, this is okay right now. You know, this looks good. We have your best interest because we have no ulterior motive here. We're not the ATP. We're outside of that. We can't be protected by the people that employ us. That's really it.
I also think the idea of 30 years to me,
it's a long time.
It's just like regardless of what's in the deal, like 30 years to me is just crazy. So much will change. Like how so much will change in 30 years. Like like 10 years is like a max for me at this stage. God. In terms, like, who knows what we're going to be looking. I mean,
just use the Islander goalkeeper Rick DiPietro as an example.
Let's not. Go on.
You know, we're giving, you know, these players get these 20-year deals, and you see them on a beach for 10 years.
Bobby Bonilla. Like you said, Bobby Bonilla.
Right there. You're 100%. You know, anything like that should be a red flag right off the bat.
Where do you think you guys are at as a group? In terms of getting that seat at the table, which again, the ATP will say you already have a seat at the table because of the player council.
Where
do you think that you guys are at in terms of, I don't know, getting that voice that you want?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm inner circle, but I'm not inner. You know, I'm missing that last kind of slide, so it's tough for me to say. You know, I think they're just a few steps away from having kind of that stability, or having the opposite, or finding out that it may be a tougher road than expected. I think we're kind of at that turning point where, you know, a lot of what the PTPA were trying to kind of get under control for themselves is getting there. You know, they have kind of that group around them, and I think they're kind of getting to that point now where, you know, we're here, we're ready to go. Is this going to work or not? You know, I think there's a few more moving parts in it, but again, you could see the arrogance in the ATP where they're scared, but they're not. Whether it's a front or not, they're like, you know, what are you guys going to do? You know, what are you going to come at us with? You know, we're, you know, we have these plans. We're doing right by the players. You know, what are you going to do? You know, how do you force our hand? You know, to give what you guys want. And it's tricky. I mean, you know, as hopeful as I am, I'm a cynic at heart, and looking at the ATP, it's been like this for so many years. What's going to push them to quote unquote do the right thing? So I'm interested to see how it's moving. Again, there's a lot of really intelligent, affluential people that are a part of the PTPA, and this is one of the best chances that we have from the inside out. Let's say that.
I am very effing excited to see you next week. I just need to say that as we're wrapping up here. Like, I am genuinely just – promise me that you're not going to get hurt this week so that I can actually see you next week, because that's – we were so close.
We're so close. Regardless, I'm coming up. How about that?
Okay.
No matter what, I have to come. I mean, it's Carrie anyway. I like Carrie.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see Ted, let's see, Aaron, Cindy, Sean down there, yeah. And Carrie, and there, obviously, frankly, I've been hanging out with Christopher Eubanks and Phil, his coach, way too much the last
Far
couple of
much.
Months. It's been, I appreciate them taking me under their wing to make me feel not alone, but no, I always feel small in many different ways. I genuinely am excited to see you. I am looking forward to sitting down and doing a live podcast, but more importantly, like, getting to see you and spend time with you. Yeah, so take that for what it's worth, and then I'll start giving you shit as soon as we hang up the phone here.
Well, we have to take pictures, like, thumbs up with the I Hate Noah Rubin shirts. It's going to be glorious. Oh, God.
Patreon news real quick. Patreon news real quick. Again, if you have not gotten me your address, I sent out an email about a month ago. Get me your address. We have Wimbledon keychains coming in for the Patreon supporters, which I'm very excited about. Finally got them today with a huge thank you to Brian Clark, who's not a name as a broadcaster that many of you know, but he is so phenomenally – really? So
tough
phenomenally
–
I can't say
phenomenally. It's
phenomenal. I can't. It's the so incredibly talented as a broadcaster. You hear him on ATP Radio as part of the Wimbledon Channel team this year, part of the U.S. Open broadcast team as well. So he's a great guy. He's getting us the keychains to send to our Patreon supporters. We're also going to have Behind the Racket Pod vinyl stickers in a couple of weeks. I mean, everything's coming up behind
it's
the Racket Pod
together.
Here, Noah.
It's,
everything
it's really,
is happening.
Yeah, Mike is peaking right now.
God. I mean, it's just what a great life I have. But yeah, so Patreon supporters, check your emails, check your spams. I have sent out stuff. Respond with your address so we can get things to you. I saw. It's fine. So Noah and I are going to get back together next week. We will talk to you guys then. For Noah, this is Mike. You've been listening to the Behind the Racket Pod.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoahRubin33, at MikeCTennis, and at Behind the Racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.